Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Bass Kayak and Beers is sponsored in part by Douglas Rod. Go to douglasoutdoors.com to check out their full lineup and locate your nearest authorized dealer.
Welcome once again, boys and girls, to the Bass Kayak and Beers segment on the Paddle and Fin Network. We have a great show as always. This time we got Freddie Garza. He runs the Bass Nation Kayak Series in Georgia, the local trail in Georgia. And we're going to be talking about his role as a tournament director, as well as some of the great stuff he's doing for the youth tournament, both in high school and college for this year and for the future. It is a great episode that I'm really looking forward to share with you guys. So without further ado, I'm going to bring Freddie in to talk about Bass Nation and his role in the youth tournament. So Freddie, once again, thank you for joining us. We're laughing because we started recording 40 minutes into the recording. I realized I didn't hit the record button. So I've wasted about 30 or 40 minutes of Freddie's time. Full disclosure that he's not getting back and he's still keeping a smile. So Freddie, thank you again. And again, I'm sorry.
That's no problem. Appreciate you having me on.
I guess. Let's see, Freddie. So let's talk about you, Freddie. First of all, how do you get into fishing, kayak fishing, and how did you become a tournament for one of the biggest names out there when it comes to bass fishing?
So I started kayak fishing in 2009. I'm originally from the Austin area, Austin, Texas area. I'd not fished for a lot of years until about 2009. And I'm in the construction industry. So after 2008 was kind of a gray area for me and just trying to figure out what I wanted to do career wise. So I picked up fishing again. And honestly, I did a lot of bank fishing. I didn't have a boat, didn't have a kayak, did a lot of bank fishing. And I was there at a small reservoir in North Austin called Brushy Creek. It had just been compounded. So it was still fairly new, new water, so it was pretty exciting to get some bank fishing in and sparked a new love for fishing. And I was sitting there one day and I saw this guy in a kayak and I'm like, man, that's the way to go. So went over to Academy, got me my first kayak, and a few months later I saw a guy there at Brushy Creek, as a matter of fact, with a Diablo. It was actually an Adios, and I'm like, man, I really like that rig. Did a little diving into it and noticed that they had just launched a rotomold kayak called the Amigo. Ended up getting one of those actually off of Craigslist. And this is something I didn't say earlier, so it might be of interest in this interview.
Yeah, but there we go.
my initial intent for kayak fishing, I'm a veteran myself, and I had just gotten back from basic training actually at the time. Believe it or not, I went through basic training at 37 years old. So I had just gotten back and, I wanted something to do and I wanted to give back to my brothers and sisters. So I wanted to do something for veterans. And I reached out to Diablo Paddle Sport. Lo and behold, what I didn't realize was that I knew the owner of the company. I'd actually grown up with him. I was raised with him. We went to church together. Our families knew our families. And as soon as he knew what I wanted to do, next thing I knew, I had a fleet of Amigos and Adios and Chups, and Rust is history when it comes to that. That's what kind of got me really hooked on it, and I did that for a lot of years. Cats was going on there in Texas, and I fished a few of their events. Work just didn't allow for me to really be available for the live tournament, so I turned to online fishing, and I did a lot of online tournaments, you know, throughout fishing waters all throughout Texas, just fishing them online. 2015, I got back in the construction industry after getting back from deployment, and found myself in Georgia. Definitely wanted to keep my, you know, love for kayak fishing alive, so started looking around. And I think at that time, Georgia had really just started to really come on. You know, they'd been around for a few years, but as far as organization, it wasn't quite where you see it today. You know, there were some smaller clubs, so I found them on Facebook. Never really made it out to any of their tournaments, mainly because I realized that there was a gap in anything in my area. I was living in Athens at the time, and wanted to do something for the community. And, you know, I created, I think it was 2018, I started Classic City Kayak Anglers out of Athens. And we started a small trail. The only problem was that year, about eight other clubs had really come on board. So Georgia experienced this huge growth. I mean, if you go back to those Facebook pages back then, everybody was saying, what's going on? Everybody, you know, everybody in there and their cat has a new trail this year. But anyway, long story short, that fizzled down. We've got about two main trails now, which are very successful trails. And, you know, a lot of the guys that fish those are some really, really great, you know, some of our best anglers here in the state of Georgia. But in that time, when I let go of the trail for Classic City, you know, I saw an opportunity. I noticed that the big entities were starting to take interest in what we were doing. We as a community, not just Georgia, and that being Bass. So I reached out to Bass, and I formed one of the first here in Georgia, the Bass Nation Club, which then in turn turned into an opportunity to become the director for the state. So we held our first championship last year. Was the only tournament that we had, and we qualified five for the national championship that they held there in Texas this year. We only were able to send three with the change of date. We lost two, they weren't available to go in June. So we ended up sending three there. And, you know, that's one of the nice things about, you know, some of the states and how they've got things set up. You know, with the dues and everything, I know a lot of people have their opinions of what they believe they should pay for, you know, to be a part of something. But, you know, with us, we went our first year and we did have a state due. And obviously you've got your national due when it comes to Bass Nation. So you're into it for about $75 a year, full blown. But what that gave our anglers was an opportunity, because we were able to pay their, I believe it was $400 each. We paid their entry fees to Texas. We gave them some gas money and we gave them some lodging money to go there. And that's where those fees go. And I think that can be, you know, misconceived sometimes as far as, you know, where it goes. But, you know, for the state of Georgia, I can honestly say with, you know, affirmation and full disclosure that all that money goes back to the anglers in some form or fashion. And, you know, the state director here for Georgia, you know, was open armed. He realized that, you know, what he's a bass boat guy. But he realized that, you know, we kind of knew and were organized in what we were doing, and he allowed us that, you know, that free rein. You know, we kind of put together what we needed to put together in our first year, and he just fully supported it. And it was amazing, you know, watching social media. I noticed, or I was listening to some of the horror stories coming out of other states that they were having difficulty in getting organized and getting something going, where, you know, I felt blessed here in Georgia knowing that, you know, we had full support of our boat brothers, and, you know, we made the best of it. Last year we had just shy of 50 in our first championship tournament. You know, Jason Alford, he's a huge hammer here in Georgia. He's won state championships and the first ever Georgia Bass Nation championship. So hats off to him. You know, he's a very good angler. He went to Texas and did his very best, and, you know, should definitely be proud of what he did out there. And anyway, that's kind of a nutshell of where we are as far as Bass Nation.
Well, that's great insight, especially when we're talking about the cost and the dues. I know there was, a lot of anglers. I've talked to a lot of anglers when the prize money came out, the payouts was going to be for the national. And then I couldn't find a single one that was okay with it. But, you know, it is what it is. It is. I know that, Bass Nation, when it comes to kayak fishing, the National Kayak Series, not talking about your local trail, obviously, Georgia, from what you're telling, it sounds like you're doing it great. You have the flexibility that I think on the national level they don't have yet. And there are shortcomings. You can see them, schedules coming out a little bit late, sign-up times, cutoff times, which actually just changed. Dwayne Bali just announced some changes on that, which I think that's going to help out. Huge shout-out to what you do, like what Dwayne Wally is doing, because I know it's very – you get the lion's share of the blame when things don't go. When you're famous tournament director, it's usually not good, because that means a lot. When everything goes smooth, you never hear about the tournament director. Right. You hear about the anglers winning and putting such a great show, as it should be. But then when things go bad, usually everybody remembers the tournament director. So I know it's a hard job that you guys have. Some people will say Bass is just getting started. Other people will say, well, it's the biggest name in bass sports, so we should hold it to a higher standard, which it makes sense. The important thing is that the sport is growing. And people like yourself that are doing such a great job of, being that transparent about where the money goes and helping out the anglers, which at the end of the day are the ones that are, have a lot of cost involved, but they're the ones also who are putting up the show. They're the ones who are growing the sport. When you saw like what Mark Prendergast did in the national championship, and also Joe McElroy, I know his last name is McElroy, but that was a great show. That's one of probably the most exciting tournaments out there, not because it was the national championship for Bass Nation, but because of the show they put in there, it was an amazing job. So, thank you for, being transparent about some of the stuff that goes, as far as the dues and the payouts and stuff like that. Cause there's a lot of things we don't see. We always see the headlines, right? And we make form opinions, whether right or wrong, about the headlines, but we also don't see what goes behind the scenes. So having that peek behind the curtain is something that I really appreciate.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a lot of conversations with Dwayne and other, national tournament directors, and, it's been a challenge to make the transition and, kind of create or start the marriage with the big entities. And I think what we all have to realize is that, it takes time. You're not going to know what's wrong until you realize it's wrong. Rather than look at, something that went wrong, let's look at how that entity reacted and fixed it. And today was a great, it was a great example, because I did notice Dwayne put up the video regarding that. And, that's right there is a good example of Bass listening to its customers. But we also have to realize, as a community, that Bass has been around a long time. MLF, I get my hands slapped when I keep saying that, but MLF has been around for a while as well. And those entities wouldn't be as successful as they are if they hadn't gotten a process and a procedure in place that made them successful. So I think, as kayak anglers, we need to really kind of evaluate where we are. Because if you look at the grand scheme of things, I was at the first Bass Nation tournament that they had there. I'm drawing a blank for where we were. Logan Martin. So I was at Logan Martin. I was there as a spectator, supporting some of our members here from Georgia. But the most profound thing that I took away from that first Bassmaster Classic that we were involved in, we, the kayak angler, were involved in, was that, as I sat in that audience, nobody knew anything about kayak angling. Honestly, I was sitting amongst a group of people that were waiting for the big show, And, you know, there they were, our guys were as kayak anglers, you know, walking across the stage, which I was excited for them. You know, it was a great experience to watch, you know, one of the first ever opportunities for our guys to walk across the stage. But I'll be honest with you, it was kind of lackluster. And I think I don't blame Bass for that one bit. You know, here it is. They're giving us an opportunity. It was what it was. You know, it wasn't good or bad. But my takeaway from it, rather than it being a negative one, was still positive. You know, it was an opportunity that sparked where we'll end up, you know, and we're still not there yet. But to listen to, you know, the audience kind of talk about who are these guys? Why are they here? You know, it really, you know, it sent home a message to me that here it is. We as a community, we get so tight knit in what we do that we think we're bigger than what we are. And, you know, we're a far cry, in my opinion. And, you know, I may get a lot of negative feedback for what I'm about to say, but, you know, in my opinion, we're a far cry from where we're going to be. And, you know, I think we have to realize that in anything that grows, it does become a business. And, you know, for those of us who don't necessarily agree with, you know, not having 100% payout in a tournament, or, you know, having to pay dues or what have you, you know, it does become a business at some point. And we're starting to get to that point. You know, there's a lot of great trails out there. Hobie and AJ McCorder, he does a fantastic job out there. But, you know, if you say that Hobie is not about business, then in my opinion, you're wrong, because Hobie started that as a business. I'm not saying this in a negative way at all.
Yeah.
You know, very positive thing, because they've got a great tournament. AJ's a great guy. But let's face it, it's all about business. And, you know, that goes right down to the sponsorships and the pro staffs. And, you know, everybody has their opinions about all of this. But at the end of the day, it's about the dollar. That's what drives us and continues to help us grow. And we haven't hit that mark yet. You know, as kayak anglers, we don't bring to the table what, you know, the bass boat side does. You know, we're not selling $80,000-$100,000 boats. We're selling, you know, $5,000 boats at max. So there's not a lot of money there in our industry. We have to look at it and realize that, you know, the professionalism needs to start in the kayak community, so that those outside entities, those big bait companies, those rod companies, look at us and say, hey, I can get a return on investment from those guys. But I'll be honest with you, you know, I think, and I'm a huge Facebook troller. My wife will tell you that 100 times. I look at our community and I kind of take a step back sometimes, and I'm like, you know, if I'm a manufacturer, if I'm a guy that's going to invest money into something, I don't know that I'm necessarily going to want to invest it in these guys, because they're unorganized. They seem unhappy. You know, it's just, it's a constant negative. I think the negatives are outweighing the positives in what we're doing. I think we all need to step back, realize that we have an opportunity, and start to embrace it, you know, and start to realize that, yes, this is a business. Yes, we do have to have some sort of professionalism to attract these guys from the outside to help us get to that next level.
Sorry, that's a good point. No, that's perfect. You hit the nail on the head. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that, because there is, like you said, it's okay to expect Bass Nation to do a better job. That it's okay to expect it. There's different channels, and there's the right way and there's the wrong way. Now, being from a standpoint of a podcast, we have recorded shows where we point out what we think or what we feel could be better. Now, that's very different from attacking somebody's character on social media, right, or just going on a tangent, you know, with profanities because you're upset at something. That's very different. It's okay, you know, if you're gonna make an observation, a constructive criticism, it would have more weight if you offer also an alternative. You say, I don't like the way the payout structure ours is. Okay, what is the way that you like the payout structure is? You want it to be top heavier, you want it to be more inclusive. And there's a way, and then you can, you know, you can go directly to Bass Nation and email them. And sometimes it is okay to put it out there in the media, you know, podcasts, live shows, it's okay to express your opinion, but doing it in a matter that respect, you know, and not in the way it comes out like a whiny little baby on a, you know, throwing a tantrum because you're not getting your favorite toy. You know, there's different ways to approach this. And going back to what you said, you know, AJ has set the bar high. You know, we've gotten so used to how AJ's running the Hobie BOS. And to me, my opinion, it's not flawless, but it's the closest tournament we have that has been as close to perfect as you can think. There is a business, and there's a question is, what's the take home? And, you know, and what are we paying out of pocket to support this organization? Everybody's going to have their opinion. But yes, we thank God for AJ and the work he's doing. But at the same time, we're getting very pampered by what they're doing. And maybe we have to realize not everybody's going to run it that way, you know.
And
be thankful that Hobie and AJ are running it the way they are, if that's what you like. And if, you know, a lot of anglers, especially tournament anglers, would agree that's one of the best ways. But again, it's a point of, especially when it comes to tournament directors, I'm sure you're going to appreciate this. You know, if you're going to address an issue with your tournament director, go one-on-one first, you know, and offer your criticism and offer your alternative solution to what you think it should be run, and do it in a manner that's respectful before going on a tandem on social media. I think that's the best way to go about it.
I would agree. You know, and I think, you know, the amount of time and effort that these tournament directors are putting in are actually just volunteering for the most part, because, you know, none of us are getting paid to do what we do, unless you're on the national level, then maybe. But even then, it's still, you know, it's still more of a passion than it is, you know, return on your investment of time. I think, you know, the huge respect would be to reach out to that tournament director, because at the end of the day, I've never met a tournament director that wanted to disappoint any of its anglers.
Yeah.
You know, I think anything that we've seen on social media was done intentionally by any means, but sometimes it can be misconstrued by the way, like you said, the way it's thrown out there. You know, it's just shotgun blasted out there. There's no, you know, there's only one side to that story, and it could be reflected badly on that tournament director, and it didn't need to be. And that's kind of what I'd like to see more of us as a community get better at. And, you know, you nailed it. I don't know of any tournament director that I've ever talked to that isn't approachable, that can't be contacted, and those discussions can happen offline rather than, you know, a blast on social media. Because I think that's the one thing that, you know, again, being that business person looking outside in, you know, seeing those types of things, just it puts a negative on our community as a whole. And I think we can definitely get better. I'm all about free speech. I love you know, talking about that. It kind of makes me think of Kayak Bass Nation. I'm not going to lie. I do get stuck sometimes. But again, you know, there are certain things that I think, you know, get misconstrued and out of hand, but hey, you know, more power to you. You know what you're getting into if you're walking into the nation. So you shouldn't be offended if you do get offended there. You know, they've done a great job, and I think they're a huge influencer. So, you know, even those guys, they seem very approachable, and honestly, they help our sport in certain aspects for us to look at and realize, hey, you know, this may be a problem somewhere else and it hasn't been in mine. Maybe I should look into doing that. But again, you know, I think at the end of the day, you nailed it. You know, just reach out to your tournament director if you got an issue with something that happened in your local trail or even your national trail, and just have that discussion before blasting it out there.
Definitely. So you're also involved, Freddie, and more importantly, and I really wanted to bring you on the show to talk about this, you're also involved in youth tournaments, high school and college level. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg,
This is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons. This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So the high school level, we, my wife and I and David, who's the owner of Coyote Outfitters here in Athens, we started the Georgia High School Kayak Fishing Association. We affiliated with what was then Student Angler FLW and has now become Student Angler MLF. We've affiliated with them to provide opportunities for our anglers to fish the high school world championships and the high school national championships. They host those once a year. It's a huge opportunity for our kids to go and fish for a large sum of scholarship money. It gets them in front of colleges that are recruiting for their bass team. So huge opportunities at the end of the year during the summer every year with Student Angler. We started last year was our first year. We sent a team to La Crosse, Wisconsin, which I'd love to give a shout out to Cale Henderson and Will Holloway. They were our first team. They went out there and fished against 312 boats and finished 72nd, I believe. So, you know, not a bad finish for two guys that they didn't fish any in the boat series that year for high school, merely fishing out of kayaks. And then they jumped into a bass boat and went and fished a river that they knew nothing about. So they did very well out there. And we knew they would. That's, you know, pretty interesting. And I'll just talk. I'd like to talk about that later, just the differences in, yeah, in boat kayaks. But so we sent them there last year. We went into our second season this year. And mind you, we did that all through COVID, which was really interesting for us because being our first year, you know, safety is in the forefront of everything we do with the high school kids. You know, when we first started the high school program, we had a ton of volunteers that were basically their coaches. So we'd have volunteers that would show up to the tournaments and they would go out and keep an eye on our kids while they were out there fishing in their spots. Well, when COVID hit, that kind of changed the dynamic. We were going to just, you know, kind of put the season on pause. But rather than that, we listened to our parents and anglers. They wanted to continue on. They realized that kayak fishing could be done virtually. And that's what we did. You know, we went to virtual captains meetings and we changed the format for our coaches to kind of it parlayed into basically parents taking their kids out, which has been, you know, amazing to see these parents getting the opportunity to be in a competitive setting with their kids and just watching them smile as they come off the water and having a great day, whether they caught fish or not, is, you know, very, very satisfying to the whole team. My wife and I, you know, we enjoy watching, you know, those relationships kind of get that opportunity to bud where they may not otherwise, you know, have that opportunity to just get that one-on-one time. So we did that, and we finished out the season. Like I said, we sent Cale Henderson and Will Holloway out to Wisconsin. This year changed a little bit, and we realized that, you know, the dynamic was changing, so we allowed the parents to continue to fish with their anglers as long as the anglers handle the fish. You know, there's a rule set put in place there. They're there mainly to keep an eye on our anglers as they're out there on the water. But this year we sent Cale Henderson won the spot again this year. But this year was a little different. He had a different partner, which was his younger brother, who I believe is in eighth grade. And they both went out to Hartwell and fished in the national championship this year and did very well. I haven't had an opportunity to find out where they finished place wise, but, you know, they went out there and fished well, caught limits every day, and you know, stuck in there until the final round. I think they were knocked out there at the final round, but it was still exciting to keep tabs on them.
That's pretty cool, and congratulations to, you know, those young gentlemen that are doing, putting, you know, Georgia on the map when it comes to, you know, youth tournament. It's interesting because you mentioned something about them fishing kayaks, you know, locally, and then when it goes to the other tournaments, they have to switch to a boat. So, in my opinion, I know we talked about this, kayak anglers to me, have an advantage. And I'll let you, before I give you my two cents, let me hear you. What's your two cents on what you think kayak anglers are better than boat, or not necessarily better, but a kayak angler is going to make you a better boat angler. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I had the opportunity. This is the second time this week I've been asked that question. I spoke to a bass coach for one of the college teams in Tennessee earlier this week, and he asked me the same question. And, you know, to me, it is, you know, obviously it's the limitation in space. You know, where you pick as a kayak angler is pretty much what you have to work. And, you know, the question was posed to me of, you know, what I thought an advantage on a kayak it would be versus a boater. And I said, well, I can assure you, I feel confident, and maybe my bias, but whatever. I feel like we can take kayak anglers and put them in a boat and they will be successful. My reasoning for that is that the, you know, successful kayak anglers are able to really understand the area that they choose for that given day. And they will pick that area apart. They will find different ways of enticing those fish in that particular area, that, you know, that reach that they can get with either a paddle pedal or trolling motor. You know, so to me, to be able to hone your skills and do the best that you can do within a confined area versus that ability to run and gun, you know, I think that's what gives kayak anglers the advantage. And, you know, it's funny, we were talking about the national championship for bass earlier, and I think a lot of professional bass anglers took note with what Mark and the guys were doing out there. I mean, I think they were floored when they saw it. And we couldn't have asked for a better opportunity to really showcase, you know, the best of the best, in my opinion. And that's something that bass has done very well. You know, if anything that I would say was a success for them this year, it was that tournament. It was, you know, they were put on a stage to do well and show out. And, you know, I think they exceeded everybody's expectations. So that's the differences in what I feel. I think, you know, boat anglers are just as savvy, and, you know, there's a different mindset that you have to have coming from a boat in order to be successful. But I ultimately think, in my opinion, if I was asked who I would take, whether I would take a, you know, odds on a kayak angler or a boat angler, I would definitely put my odds on a kayak.
Yeah, and it's something that's not mentioned enough. A true kayak angler, and I'm not saying that I am at that level, but because I think that's one of the things that I still have to improve in my game. But it's not just learning to pick out the spot. It's choosing a spot. Because, again, when you're on a boat, you're like, you look overall at the lake and you decide, okay, I'll start here. And if it doesn't work, I'll move here. A kayak angler is going to really have to study. It's really a great kayak angler. That's what separates some of the elites with the, you know, the rest of the kayak fishing community, as far as the tournament scene goes, is they have to spend a lot of time breaking down a lake and dividing them into quarters, or depending how big the lake is, and decide, okay, I've studied the lake, I've looked at the maps, I used the technology that's available to me, I've read the blogs, I read the histories on the lake. And that's the other thing. It's add to that the fact that one part of the lake is going to be great at one time of the year, but it's going to be not so great at another time of the year. So a kayak angler, if it's really wanted to be successful, he really has to put a lot of work researching where he's going to fish. So a lot of the most important work is before the tournament starts. Because, again, you don't have a boat. You can't just say, well, I'll hit this point, I hit this point, I hit this point. No, it's, I'm not going to have time from this point to that point. So which point do I think is going to work better? And there's a lot of research. Let's look at history, where people have catching them, you know, water temperatures, you know. There's a bunch of stuff that a kayak angler has to study. And, again, we're talking about the elites. You know, we're comparing the elite kayak anglers with the elite bass boat anglers. In my opinion, you know, because of the work they have to do in research, it makes them a better angler. They don't have that. We've mentioned it before. They can't move, you know, 20, 40 miles per hour to get to the other side of the lake and fish their spot. To me, it's funny because when I was at the at the Bassmaster Classic, where they were holding the, the finals, as not the lake, but just the expo, where they're showing, the finals, everybody coming and, showing off their fish. And you can see them, they get to the boat, they drive up, with the trailer, get to the live well, lift the bass, and they're, lifting it like, yay, like it's the championship belt for WWF. Right. And I'm thinking, that's a best of 2 or 3 pounder, man. It's like, if I do that on a kayak tournament, I am going to be shamed. Of like, if I am going out there lifting my bass and yelling, I better have at least an 8 pounder on my hand. If I'm doing that with a 2 pounder, it would be like, what the heck are you doing, man? So it was funny to me when I see the guys drive up. It's like, guy, you cannot do that on a kayak fishing tournament. You'd be scorned if you're showing off a 2 pound bass and you think you caught something special. So it's funny. But anyway, so going back to the youth tournament, what are the benefits for parents that are listening to this show or kids that are listening to this podcast? What are the benefits of them trying to get their school enrolled in this? What's in it for them as far, other than having a great time? how can they get their school involved in it?
Those are two really good questions. The first one, what can they get out of it? As I'd mentioned a little earlier, I was on the phone with college bass fishing team coaches earlier this week, and they are taking note, and I think here in the next few years we'll start to see that evolution going into colleges. As a matter of fact, we'll probably see it as early as this year, where some of the universities that are very serious in the bass fishing world are going to start hiring coaches for the kayak side. It was a very interesting conversation that I had this week, and it's one that I'm hoping to kind of build on to provide those opportunities, because one of the reasons we started what we did was to provide that opportunity, in whatever means was possible. And right now, currently, it's giving them an opportunity to fish our kayak trail and then flipping to a boat to go fish the national championship with the Student Angler Federation. To buy and fish for, the millions of dollars that they have every year of scholarship money. So, that's one of the things that we, we like to let our bass team, our high school bass teams know, is that there's that opportunity for, scholarship money if someone's willing to put in the time and the effort to become, a very solid competitive angler. Those opportunities are there. But I see it on the horizon. And it's closing on us very quickly. We'll start seeing opportunities for these kids to start getting scholarships for these major bass fishing schools, colleges, and universities. The opportunity to get scholarships from those teams as well. So, to be right now looking outside in, the opportunities are definitely going to be there for the lower classmen. I can't say immediately for. Seniors and juniors right now, but definitely sophomores, freshmen, and below can look for those opportunities to come up whenever they get ready to graduate from high school. So those are things that we're working on as well. Our association is willing and able to kind of help the progression of the college level and the college series. We hope to be very involved in that and help, really grow that from a grassroots level. But it takes people, one of the biggest challenges that I my wife and I talk about all the time with David is that, it's getting the word out. How do we get, how do we let people know that we're out there? It's an easy sell when we finally do get in front of the coaches and the schools. It's just we've struggled with getting the getting our name out there and getting people to understand what opportunities we can provide their anglers if they're willing to fish out of a kayak.
And I hope this podcast helps in spreading the word, man. It would be honored just to be part of it and help you guys out, because I know you're doing a lot of work that is very gratifying, but it's also, very sacrificing. And right. And I'm sure you take the gratifying aspect of it and way over the sacrifices that you make. Right. So again, huge shout out to what you're doing. And your wife, like you mentioned, is who's also involved with this and the kids that are taking part of it. Where can people reach out to get more information?
You know, we hope to get better on our social media. You know, that's one thing that as we built, we've just really trying to find people to help out with that. Because that's, you know, one of those things is, you know, with social media, it's about the, you know, keeping it consistent and getting it out there on a consistent basis for people to read and understand. And that's something that we've lacked in the last 2 years, but we're hoping to, you know, find volunteers to help us keep that on the forefront of everybody. But the best place to find me, you know, if anyone, the reach of your podcast is large. So any state, if you're interested in starting anything within your state, you know, best thing to do would be if you want help or want my help or suggestions, I'm more than happy to help. I can be reached at our Facebook page, which is Georgia High School Kayak Fishing Association. Drop me a message there. You know, I'll definitely throw out my telephone number and feel free to call me or message me. And if you have any questions or want to get more information on how to get started, because I don't feel like there's anything that limits anyone in any state at this point that might want to volunteer to get something going for these kids, especially knowing that, you know, on the horizon we have opportunities coming out of the college level to be able to start something even as small as a local, you know, Thursday night, Saturday trail, whatever. You know, it I think as long as you give them that opportunity and that platform to compete, you know, at any level is something better than not having it at all. So.
Awesome. So there you go, guys. If you're interested, parents, kids that might be listening to a podcast, there's your chance to, you know, reach out and see if you can be part of this. And again, we hope to grow this sport in a way that, you know, it's organic and we usher in the next generation of kayak anglers and take the sport, you know, to a higher level. You know, we don't want it to get stuck where we are. We want it to keep growing, continue, and generations after that, they can enjoy and see how big we can get with this. So, again, huge shout out, Freddie, to you and your wife, your family, for doing what you are doing. And hopefully it will keep growing and more kids can take advantage of this. It's a great opportunity when you as a parent are able to, you know, spend quality time with your kids, have them on a healthy environment, healthy sport out there in nature, and also – you know, a good opportunity to solidify his education and at least from a financial point of view. So great job.
Exactly. Thanks.
So Freddie, like we were mentioning, we started talking, thinking we're recording and that was my bad, but I wanted to ask you real quick without keeping you too long. The difference between fishing in Texas and fishing in Georgia, because we think as, you know, Texas, big bass capital of the United States, we often forget a guy by the name of George Perry in, I think, 1932 caught the biggest bass to date in the United States. I think it was something like 22 pounds on Lake Montgomery. So, I mean, there's huge bass to be found in Georgia. Am I right? Or is it, how does it compare to Texas?
I think there's those opportunities, whether or not I've found those waters, at this date, I definitely say I have not. But you know, the one interesting thing to me is, you know, it's been fishing in Texas, you know, 19 inches, 20 inches, you can find the waters and find those fish, you know, relative, I don't mean to undermine it and say that it's easy, but, having fished in Georgia here in the last 3 years, I can definitely say for me, it's easier. You know, that's where my hats will go off to all these anglers here on the East Coast. You know, there's so much diversity in the waters and, you know, just the bottoms are different. The cover is different. It's any given section of the state, you know, you can be thrown a curveball and have to really adjust. So, for that matter, you know, I would say that it doesn't surprise me that we have so many great anglers come from the East Coast. And I'm not taking away from Texas. I think we've got, you know, Texas has some great anglers there as well. Yeah. But I think as far as, you know, what it takes to catch big fish in Texas versus Georgia, Hands down, I'd like my odds in Texas versus Georgia.
Yeah,
you know, Georgia is very it's a very huge outdoor state, as Texas is as well. But I think it takes it just a little bit above, where you've got a lot of pressure in tournaments and recreational fishing that makes it very difficult to kind of cultivate what we see or what I've seen in Texas. So it's not surprising to me that the fish aren't, you know, an abundance of large here. But, you know, you can find those waters that are very good and you get some big ones. Cause I've, you know, I'm a huge Facebook troller and I've seen some guys here in Texas got some pretty good size ones.
Yeah, definitely. It's Texas, you know, it's the coin phrase. It's always bigger in Texas does apply to bass fishing. I tell you that.
Not trying to be biased, but you know, in my opinion, it does. Especially living in Austin, man. You know, I miss going out to Lake Austin, and you know, I knew if I was doing it right, I was easily going to pull in. I could pull in a 19-incher on any given day. And I'm not trying to talk. That doesn't make
no. It crazy. Is.
It just makes me, you know, an opportunist who takes advantage of a great fishery. So.
No, it is. I for the Save JT tournament, Tourney X, I was fishing my way out. It got hot and the water temperatures at that creek was like, I think it was 89 degrees. So I was like, I'm just going to fish my way out. And I'm going to start throwing a jackhammer just because, not that I think it was going to work. I was thinking, I just want something, you know, where I can make multiple quick casts while I'm, you know, paddling back to the boat ramp. And I figured, it's probably not going to work. This is not the bait for this conditions. But if I can hit one in the nose, you know, maybe I'll be lucky. If I get multiple tasks and I just pinpoint my cast where I think there might be a bass, you know, I may just hit one in the nose and boom, there it is, you know. But I wasn't expecting, because I figured this is not what I would do if I was actually on a live tournament. It was just I'm fishing my way out. Let's do it. And sure enough, I hit one right in the nose, 21 incher.
Oh,
now I did throw it right at the spot where I wanted to. I wasn't a lucky cast. And I figured there should be a bass in that spot, but it was one of those things where it's like, you know, I wasn't really like honing in on one specific skill. I was just, you know, getting my way out, and I figured, well, might as well keep casting while I'm leaving to the boat ramp. And you know, and you catch a 21 incher. It's true. Yeah. I mean, I'm at best a mediocre kayak angler. I'll tell you that right now. And maybe I'm a little better, but I'll just say I think I'm just mediocre. And I still constantly think I can get, you know, 18, 19, an occasional 20 incher. Right. So if I can do it, anybody can do it in Texas, honestly.
Well, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one, because I've said it on several podcasts and I'm thinking, well, maybe people are thinking I'm crazy, but yeah, it's been a challenge. I have to ask these guys, because that, you know, they will go out and put some numbers up in any given day. And you know, for a lot of these tournaments, it's just a huge, it doesn't matter where we're at, reservoir, lake here in Georgia, you know, there's just so much tournament activity in John boats and bass boats and kayaks. So, you know, for them to pull the numbers that they do, my hats definitely go off to them. I'm like, man, you must have a sweet spot, or you've done a ton of research to know what you're doing. And, you know, again, it's all about the work that they put in to begin with and go out there and be successful on any given Saturday.
Yep. Look at McIlroy. Came up second in the Bass-Kayak Nation series, the national championship, 208 on 2 days, and he came up second. Jody Quinn on the KBF trail on Saturday, it was in April, came up second, and he had 109 inches. And he came up second to Guillermo Gonzalez, who had 110. So it's Texas. It's like, you know, what can we say?
Right.
100 inches here will get you at best third place of most tournaments.
Exactly.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, Freddie, like I said, between the time we were recording without hitting the record button and the time we've been talking, I've had you more than an hour. So I really appreciate you taking the time to come up to the show and, you know, spread the words on Bass Nation in Georgia and on, more importantly, the youth tournaments, both in high school and college. Hopefully we'll get the word out and get some more schools involved with this. Scholarships will be a bit better and the sports will keep growing and ushering a new generation. Before I let you go, Freddie, I wanted to give you a chance to thank anybody you want to thank, any companies that sponsor what you're doing, anybody else that you might want to thank.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to thank Westbrook Supply out of Atlanta for being a huge supporter of the high school side of things, as well as Coyote Outfitters in Athens. They've been wonderful in helping us with prize packs and, you know, taking care of the kids as far as handing them discounts for being a high school angler and going in and purchasing kayaks, as well as Big Bear Fishing Rods. That, you know, Rob over there has been supportive of everything we've done, and you know, I can't thank him enough for what he does for us. I'd also like to give a huge shout out to our Bass Nation sponsors, because without them, you know, a lot of things aren't possible, and especially this shop that I'm about to mention, Dugout Bait and Tackle out of Marietta. Jamie Koza and his team are phenomenal. I mean, the guy just he. I can't thank him enough for what he's done for our sport. He's just a man who's very he's an honorable guy, and he just wants to give back to the community, and he does so in huge volume. I can't thank him enough. And also Shane Coulter out of Automotion Customs here in Georgia. They've been a huge supporter for Bass Nation as well. And you know, again, without these guys, we can't do what we do on the tournament director side. Fishhead is another sponsor that I'd like to definitely throw a shout out to. They've really stepped up on the high school side and helped us with prizes for every tournament. So it's been wonderful to have them on board. I know I'm forgetting some, but those are the ones that really, you know, I truly appreciate and admire and what they do for our sport. So, you know, hit them up and support them and what they do, because, you know, they are smaller shops and, you know, every bit helps. So, you know, like them on Facebook and follow them. They're doing great things.
Definitely. So thanks to all of them for supporting you and the great things that you are doing. So, Freddie, thank you so much again for joining us. If for those out there listening, if you made it this far, we appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you to Douglas Rods, my sponsor. Go check them out, douglasoutdoors.com. Check out their full lineup. Find your nearest dealer or online dealer. So, again, thanks to Freddie. If you're going to be out there on the water, guys, please wear your PFD. Stay safe. Make sure you make it back to your home, to your family. Have a great day, everyone.
This segment is brought to you by Jigmasters. Step up your game with high-quality performance jigs, spinnerbaits, buzzbaits, and more from Jigmasters.com. And always, when in doubt, get the jig out.
Yak Gadget, made in America, based outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Yak Gadget offers all kinds of storage accessories, quick mount motor mounts, anchor systems, track mounted accessories, even paddles. Go to yakgadget.com and get your kayak decked out for your next trip out on the water.
The 153 Bait Company, based in Troy, Ohio, make everything from plastics to custom painted hard baits. Hook them hard and hook them off. All of our baits are made to order and all of our hard baits are hand painted to order. So go to the153anglers.com to place your order today.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler, the Angler Button, and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.